The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Hi, Ro. How are you doing today?
Well, after that introduction, I have the hugest smile on my face.
Well, we aim to please. What can I say?
And you do so well.
Thank you so much, Ro. So apparently the clashes have been continuing on the Temple Mount, and the PA is appealing to the international community to take away the metal detectors.
This is a big worry at the moment. We know following last week's terror attack that Israel has put in security measures on the Temple Mount at all 9 entrances to the Temple Mount, which does include cameras and metal detectors. And some are saying, or some amongst the Palestinian society are saying that this is unacceptable, that it is provocative. The problem with this is that you've got the Waqf, who is responsible for kind of taking care of the Muslim prayer areas. They're refusing to come onto the Temple Mount until the cameras and the metal detectors are removed. The Palestinian Authority called for today to be a day of rage, and the clashes continued on the Temple Mount, and Friday has been called a day of mass prayer has been called for. And one of the problems that we have seen, and it's also kind of conflated by the media, who are using terms like the siege of Al-Aqsa to kind of break the story. So we have a situation where it's very, very tense in Jerusalem right now. Quds TV's breaking news Twitter account said that the Israeli Shabak have recommended moving the detectors and the occupying police refuse. We don't know if that is true or not. What we do know is that we are trying to diffuse an already tense situation. We have Al Jazeera, who are also reporting that Israel might remove the metal detectors. The problem with this is that the terrorists who committed Friday's crime were able to get their weapons onto the Temple Mount, and there is concern for the safety of our police on the Temple Mount, many or most of whom are not Jewish, but also the safety of worshippers, because at the end of the day, we do have to guarantee the integrity and the safety of all worshippers at all our religious holy sites. So a very, very tense situation at the moment, and a lot of us worrying that if this is not sorted out very, very soon, this could be used to rationalize perhaps another intifada. The stabbing intifada, many believe, was started by claims that there was a change in the status quo on the Temple Mount. And the big worry is, could this explode into something much, much more serious than it already is?
But is this really a change to the status quo on the Temple Mount?
It's not a change to the status quo, but many Muslim worshippers are seeing the presence of metal detectors and cameras. It's kind of an invasion of their privacy or their right to pray peacefully, and some are using the term occupation. Now, it's not an occupation. The situation is that we really, really have to maintain a secure place of worship. We wouldn't have to put the metal detectors on the Temple Mount if we didn't have a situation like we had on Friday. So I think using terms like occupation is really, really dramatic and inflammatory, but this is the situation as we speak.
Now, look, I fully understand. You know, I can understand if they were going up against the cameras, but don't they want to be able to go up to the Temple Mount and pray in a safe and secure area? I mean, it's metal detectors. It's making sure that weapons aren't going in over there, so that innocent worshippers are not going to be blamed for things that some nefarious people might be trying to do.
Well, many also see the presence of the Israeli security forces as something that, you know, in their minds or the press's minds, seems like an occupation. The Temple Mount was actually closed today for a while. It has been reopened because of the situation where in a briefing to the media, after Mickey Rosenfeld, who is the police spokesperson, after he briefed the media, police actually had to use stunt grenades to disperse the crowd. So, you know, this is probably the most delicate area in the entire region, and the way that Israel proceeds has to be with extreme caution and also extreme sensitivity. Some have tweeted that there were settlers storming the Temple Mount. That is their words and not mine. And there actually has been an appeal for Jews not to go up onto the Temple Mount so that we don't have any kind of provocation.
Which I understand, unfortunately, at this point in time, my understanding with the Waqf not really operating is that would be a beacon call to a lot of Jews who want to go up onto the Temple Mount and say a prayer or two.
Well, right now the appeal is actually for calm and just to understand the bigger picture. Because we really do not want to see, you know, the second intifada, some say, was started by Ariel Sharon ascending the Temple Mount. This last stabbing, Gal Terror, wave of terror, many say, was started by what some saw as a potential change in the status quo. We really do not want to see a massive fallout from what is happening at the moment. And really, the appeal is for caution, for sensitivity, and for calm.
Please, God. And moving over to you, another story that you've got over here. Irish president meets with Barghouti. What did they have to say to each other?
Well, I actually don't even know what to say about this. I mean, Ireland's probably not one of the friendliest countries towards Israel. There has been a lot of tension over the years in some of the language that has been used by the Irish Parliament. But today, Ireland's president met with Omar Barghouti, the co-founder of the anti-Israel BDS, or Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions movement. And not only did he do that, but he shook his hand. And some have said that who support this meeting have said you give a great example of your internationalism by organizing fringe events and inviting Omar Barghouti, who will speak on the challenge ahead for Palestinians. This is Higgins addressing the conference where Barghouti was allowed to speak. You know, as you can imagine, this was not viewed in a positive light by Israel at all, especially in light of the fact that the foreign minister was recently in Israel, as recent as last week, met with Bibi Netanyahu, who explained to him the situation on the ground and asked him to really understand where Israel is coming from, the complexities and the challenges faced in the region. And as you can imagine, the Israeli embassy, both in Dublin and in Ireland, who were aware of this, protested on a diplomatic level. They said that the inclusion of Barghouti in the Irish president's greeting, it was absolutely unacceptable.
Which it is, but I think you should also take a look at where it's coming from. Ireland's never really been our friends. If anything, they've very much been in the opposing camp for, you can go back as far as World War II.
Well, this is going to make the relations between Dublin and Jerusalem perhaps even more tense. And Foreign Minister Coveney, who met with Netanyahu last week, he said that he does acknowledge that many Israelis feel that Ireland is biased in favor of the Palestinians, but said that in the end everybody yearns for peace and that the Irish people are so interested in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict because we have had a violent past ourselves and we see this as one of the great conflicts and divisions in the world. But having said this, you can't make statements like that and then still display such extreme bias. So I would imagine that there will be perhaps some ambassadors being called for a dressing down and a very strong explanation as to why we are profoundly insulted by this latest diplomatic faux pas.
I agree 100%. And apparently Iran has condemned new U.S. sanctions.
Well, this is very interesting. You know, when we saw candidate Trump on the election path, he said that he's going to tear up the agreement. on review, it perhaps has been said to him that, you know, you can't just tear it up. You have to review. You have to look carefully. You have to look at the deal, you know, from a macro point of view. But what he has done, while he hasn't torn up the agreement, he has said that Iran are flouting the agreement and he's imposing tougher sanctions. These are American sanctions against Iran. And the foreign ministry of Iran responded by saying that the United States is worthless act of imposing illegal sanctions against people linked to their nuclear program. And Tehran says that they are going to apply new sanctions against American people and entities that have acted against the Iranian people and other Muslim people of the region. So that is quite strong language. And, you know, it's very, very worrying when they do not restrict it just to Iran, but bring religious issues into it as well.
But that's Iran's game plan. I don't really think that America is shaking in their boots with the threat of sanctions being placed on them by Iran. But
I don't think they're going to worry about sanctions being placed on them. But what they are going to worry about is Iran's terror proxies perhaps targeting American interests in the region. And that's a true tragedy.
Now, if I remember correctly, Iran also threatened U.S. military bases in the region recently.
Well, this is the worry. The worry is that they do have very, very large tentacles in terms of the terror organizations that they sponsor. And this is perhaps what their threat could mean, is that American interests, American bases, American civilians, American businesses in the region could come under a threat of attack from Iran.
Okay, well, all I can say to Big Satan, don't worry, Little Satan has your back. And
we always got your back. In fact, there's even a T-shirt to back that up. I don't know if you've been to the Old City in Jerusalem at the stalls and you see the famous T-shirt. Don't worry, America. Israel is right behind you.
Yes, I love that shirt. And the Hungarian Prime Minister is apparently calling a spade with what he said to Bibi.
Yes, well, Bibi is in Hungary at the moment. He is meeting with and bringing together a meeting of various Israeli CEOs and Hungarian CEOs to kind of broaden and tighten economic ties. There has been a lot of controversy around this because some have seen that there has been an aggressive campaign against Jewish billionaire and Holocaust survivor George Soros, who over the last couple of weeks attacked Hungary's policy against immigrants and refugees seeking to enter the country on the way to Germany. And there's been a whole brouhaha around that. And it was discussed that in light of Netanyahu's visit, the posters, that kind of campaign, will be suspended or pulled down. But what we have seen, and I don't know if this is perhaps French President Emmanuel Macron's influence with his magnificent speech that he gave on Sunday, but we now have the Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban has said that Hungary collaborating with the Nazis was a sin. It will never happen again, and that the Hungarian government will protect all its citizens. They understand that they do have a minority community with the Jewish community. Having said that, they're going to have to do a lot to stamp out the rise of the neo-Nazi right in Hungary, which is extremely frightening, and they are quite powerful. But this is very, very positive language coming from the Hungarian leadership. And Netanyahu said, you know, there are many Israelis who visit Hungary. Hungary, and particularly Budapest, is considered one of the most magnificent cities in Europe to visit. And he hopes that many Hungarians will be visiting Israel.
And I hope that for as well. But there's another story that I actually saw earlier today. Apparently, while visiting Europe, Netanyahu was caught on tape saying that the European policy towards Israel was crazy.
Well, you know, and I know, that when it comes to any situation, especially where microphones are involved, always make sure your microphone is off before you actually open your mouth. So we've had a situation where Bibi had a hot mic issue. I don't think he realized, or maybe he did realize, that his microphone was on and made some comments about the previous U.S. administration and about the Europeans and their ridiculous support and their misguidedness in the region. That, you know, those were his sentiments. Mm-hmm. So I think that there will be either some major explaining to do. You know, that famous saying, Lucy, you got some splaining to do. Well, in this case, Bibi, you got some splaining to do. And we wonder what kind of damage control we will see coming out of the Prime Minister's office in the next day or two over this.
Definitely. The sad thing is, I don't necessarily disagree with some of the sentiments he expressed.
Well, I don't think that any of us do. Some of, which is perhaps, you know, well, I'm thinking maybe it was kind of, you know, mistakenly on purpose.
Yes. What do they call that? Subtle diplomacy.
So, or in his case, not so subtle diplomacy. But there we have it, our Prime Minister caught with a hot mic.
Well, thank you so much. Once again, an unbelievable and insightful Israel report with Rolene Marks. I can't wait to talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks so much, Ro.
I'll be back tomorrow, and because it's Thursday, I will have my whiskey in hand.
Oh, so will we. Thanks, Ro.